With Halloween a stone's throw away, let's dive back to Reddit to find the most chilling stories ever posted. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell notification so you never miss a creepy story. Poker Face. This happened in Antioch, California. It was around 2 a.m. I was at a friend's house, safe in warm, sheltered suburbia. We were having a lot to drink, chit-chatting, enjoying ourselves. Of course, when you're having fun, time hits the fast-forward button, and those few minutes turned into hours. I had too much to drink. My friend has a bit of an abrupt bedtime, so I had to dodge out early, still intoxicated. I felt too shameful, thinking I'd be asking too much to stay in his house to sleep off the drunkenness. I suppose he was either too rude or too drunk to consider it himself. Whatever. Sometimes a little inconvenience makes you appreciate everything else. I needed about another hour or so to sober up and drive back. As fast as time passed during my stay, I decided to drastically slow down as soon as I stepped out of his house. It was a cul-de-sac area, a concrete jungle with the stem of the street breaking into a fork. Alongside the road, my car was parked. The only street light that worked was in the middle of the cul-de-sac circle, about 80 yards away. I stumbled towards my car, produced my keys, felt the metal line up, opened my door, and shifted the back seat. Because this was a dark, strange, and unfamiliar neighborhood, I took the leftover newspaper and my sweater in my back seat to cover myself up. I was a little scared. I wanted to camouflage myself and not just be some guy awkwardly sitting in his car waiting for time to pass in order to drive home. I couldn't fall asleep. The uncomfortable feeling of a cheap backseat bed enshrouded in darkness didn't make the chance of slumber easier. It felt too ominous. And of course my mind began to wander. I thought the worst case scenarios, like how the police would shine their lights on me through the window, or a drunk driver hid in my car, and, wait, in the distance, about 100 yards away, I could hear footsteps approaching. The gravel scuffed with each step forward, growing in proximity, but periodically taking stops. I wondered why until it made sense in my mind. Whoever it was probably looking through cars carefully, with the intent to steal one. I couldn't recall how many cars were on the block, but I counted 3 full stops until he was at my window, breathing. I froze. There was no more than 1 foot between us. The car encapsulated me as I lay hidden beneath backseat clutter, forming myself into an object, trying my hardest to be unnoticeable, unmoving, and simply not there. I see you, said a 40-plus-year-old man in a perverse baby talk. Imagine when you were playing hide and seek, and one of your friends tricks you into coming out. He said it in that tone of voice, as if baiting me, like he was questioning whether the clutter in the back seat was just clutter. Or a person. I didn't want to move or check the window. I remained clutter. Give me an Academy Award. My body reacted by minimizing my breathing so much that I felt paralyzed. I dare not look. My eyes fixated on the back of the passenger seat. I didn't blink. I didn't move. I didn't breathe. My heart was pounding so hard it shook my body with each throb. He circled around the car. My ears didn't fail me. I heard the steps. I felt like I was part of the car. I could feel him touching the trunk as he carefully pressed down on it, as if to test the alarm, as if to test me. I was in the middle of fight or flight. I couldn't do either without elevating danger. I was frozen and hoping to God he was bluffing. He circled the car again. The door handle to my right jiggled. He was pulling it multiple times.
I see you.
Same tone, but more agitated and stressed. More convinced that he was trying to make the clutter move. Revealing itself to be of his expectations that it was me. My muscles tensed like a cow before slaughter. That had to be metal against glass. Take a penny right now and tap your window. A crowbar, a knife, a rock, a gun. My eyes fixated on the seat in front of me, never averting my gaze, like he was. I was covered enough to where I couldn't see beyond the seat in front of me. I know I couldn't see him, but I could feel his eyes resting on top of me.
My name's Purpleface, not yours.
The voice changed, in a lower, demented and serious tone. My mind forced a visual. It wasn't anything human. I already accepted my death. I was ready to be shot in the head. Ready to take a life-changing bullet. Multiple knife wounds. Just make this sleep bearable. Not excruciating, as you train me of life. I wouldn't know how to react. My thoughts grew dimmer. I imagined my friend waking up the next morning, after a calm night of safe and sound sleep, only to discover my mutilated, defiled and bloodied body hanging outside my car door. It was then I heard nothing but my own heart. What was this person doing now? Just staring at me in the middle of the night, talking to me, or a messy pile in the back seat. Time froze. The footsteps were being swallowed in the distance. Thank God he left. I waited another hour until the sun showed hints of itself. I jumped in my front seat and bolted out of there, wide-eyed and sober. The mask. This encounter happened to me a while ago. I couldn't share it for a long time. For some background, I live in the country in Ohio, down a long drive. Fields on two sides, woods in the back. I'm about a mile away from town, so if I need police, I have to call the sheriff. I live with my husband and Boxer. The night this happened, my husband was getting some overtime at the factory. It was a Saturday, and he was working third shift. I'd spend the evening at my parents' house, and didn't head home until around midnight. I stopped in town at a 24-hour gas station to get some drinks, chocolate, and beef jerky for my dog, Alizar. As I exit the gas station, I get this feeling that's so strong, I just look around because I know someone was outside with me. Over to my left, about 20 feet away, is a girl in a really cute little dress with a horse mask on. We stared at each other for a minute before I hopped into my car and quickly pulled out onto the road, almost hitting a light pole as I belatedly checked my back seat for danger. That was unnerving, but I was home just a few minutes later, giving Alizar jerky and eating chocolate and watching TV. All of a sudden, my dog takes off down the hall to the back porch barking and growling and attacking the window. I run in there afraid a window is going to get broke again. Alizar broke a window trying to get a coyote once already, and I stopped dead in my tracks. There, standing at the window, is a horse mask. Again, we stared at each other. I looked over to the back door. Was it locked? Shit, I couldn't remember. Horse mask looks over at the door. Slowly, I walk over to it. So does horse mask. We both reach for the knob. It was locked. Horse mask looks behind her, and for the first time, I look around my backyard. There is a guy in a horse mask too. I'm like, okay, this is enough. I'm calling the cops. I got Alizar and shut the door to the porch and went to the living room to get my cell phone. Of course, I left my phone in the car when I carried my stuff into the house. In my car, that's in the garage. My dark garage. Basically lacking any choice, I opened the door to the garage and tried to open my car door. But guess what? I must have locked it and I didn't have the keys. I crept back into the house. No sign of Aliza. No horse mask in the backyard that I could see from the kitchen window. I grabbed my keys and got the phone. I called the sheriff and told them what happened, and I was followed home and alone. They asked if they were still outside. I looked out the windows room by room. Nothing. Until I got to my front yard. Right out front, there they were, just standing about 100 feet away, holding hands, staring. I honestly was crying at this point to the dispatcher, who assured me someone would be there soon. As I stood there, clearly on the phone, the girl waved. Then they walked hand in hand down my lane, out of sight. It took the sheriff 10 minutes to get there. They found nothing. Told me the guy probably sat in a car and they followed me. Just kids being kids, they said. My dog didn't come out of the bedroom the rest of the night. I sat up, listening to silence until my husband got home. A couple of weeks later, someone from the sheriff stopped by to follow up. They said they checked the camera at the gas station, but all it shows is the girl walking up by the dumpsters and standing there until I left and she walks away. Tape recorder. My friend suggested I share my story here, and I finally have the time to type it out. I don't know if it exactly meets the standards of this outlet, but it definitely is the scariest experience I've ever had. Here goes. At the time, I was 10 years old and lived in a small coastal town in Newfoundland that was littered with large forests. Almost every house had acres of forestry behind it, which itself was very beautiful. As I am now 21, I live in a bustling city in Alberta. I do find myself missing the setting in my old backyard every once in a while, but it's usually accompanied by the unsettling memory of what I'm about to recount. By the time I was in grade 4, I was already trusted to be at home by myself, as my mother went out to visit my grandmother and aunt, who literally lived a few minutes down the road from us. I was happy to have such a privilege. I was an only child and my father worked in another province, months at a time. So I was very lucky to have this opportunity. It usually meant late night movies and video gaming, and on the odd night exploring the forests. This night, I was exploring said woods. I usually never went too far in, usually up a large rock formation I liked to climb and look out through the trees in all directions. The house was always in sight, so I never felt scared or frightened by being there. It felt like my own private place that I could enjoy. So as I was scaling the rocks to sit in my usual spot, I suddenly started hearing a sound from further in. A sound that wasn't natural at all. Crying. Faint crying. It sounded like a child, maybe even an infant, crying relentlessly. I was more puzzled than scared, since crying was the last thing I would have expected to hear in the forest. I must have listened for a good few minutes, convinced my ears were playing tricks on me. But in fact, it was crying. In my mind, I imagined it was a young girl that somehow wandered too far into the forest and needed help. I considered going back to the house and calling my mother to help, but then worried that the girl would wander further in beyond earshot. I decided to try to locate the sound myself. I made my way hastily through trees and branches, trying to figure out the exact direction the crying was in. It definitely wasn't easy as I thought, and it was a matter of trial and error to even make sure I was going in the right direction. One thing I never realized that I was doing all this was how consistent the crying was. No pauses, no words of any kind, just non-stop sobbing and wailing that had no end. What I did notice was the closer I got to the sound, the more metallic it sounded to me. I eventually reached a small clearing that had only a few small trees and bushes and nothing else. I'd never gone this far in before, so this was the first time I had ever seen it. When I made my way in, it didn't take long for me to find the source of the sound. A grey tape recorder, one of the biggest I'd ever seen, was peeking out of the bushes, and the crying was coming out of the speakers. This really disturbed me, as I'd went all this way expecting to find a real person, but it was only a tape recorder. As I was about to shut it off, I heard another sound coming from just outside the clearing on the opposite side. It sounded like steady steps advancing in my direction. It only took seeing a tall, shadowy figure coming my way to send me running. Fortunately, by some miracle, I recognized my way back by identifying rocks and trees I identified as landmarks. Looking back, this probably saved my life. I never looked back, and I didn't try listening to see if that person was following me. I just kept telling myself to make it home and nothing else. I had to get home. Once I saw the large rock formation, it didn't take long for me to know the rest of the way without needing to survey my surroundings. I was out of the forest in record time and immediately ran into my house, locking the door and shutting all of the lights off as I went to my bedroom. I didn't want this person to know where I lived, or I'd really be done for. After shutting the curtains of my window, I peeked out through them as discreetly as I could to see if whoever had been out there had actually managed to keep up with me. I didn't see anyone, but I stayed by that window for a good hour, waiting for something to emerge out of the forest's shadows. But nothing ever did. After that, I went straight to bed. I never did tell my mother about what happened that night, and I also never was able to go back into that forest again. Holodomor. My great-grandmother was born in 1913 in Ukraine. In 1932, when she was 19, something called Holodomor took place. Extermination by hunger. This was recognized years later as genocide on Ukrainian people by the Soviet Union. Millions died, and as you might expect, during a famine, cannibalism became rampant. It wasn't unheard of, great-grandma told me, for families to kill the youngest child in order to eat. As time passed and the famine ended, things seemed to get better, but food was still scarce. It cost a lot, just for basics, milk, eggs, bread, etc. It also took a lot of time, as these things weren't easy to find. Though it happened less, great-grandma was certain that people were resorting to easier, more sinister methods to obtain food. Great-grandma was pregnant with my grandfather in 1936, and she wanted fresh vegetables desperately. Sort of a pregnancy craving, I guess you could say. So out she went, trekking up and down the streets. It looks like she wasn't going to have any luck until... Lady, you need something? It was a small boy, about 8 years old. His cheeks were unusually full, she remembered. Most people those days had cheekbones that looked like they would poke out from your face at any slight pressure. Great-grandma told the boy she wanted vegetables, and his chubby face split into a grin. He knew just the place, he told her, and gave her directions to a hovel a few blocks down. She was wary but determined, so off she went. The hovel smelt like slaughter. She didn't think anything of it. Maybe these people had a lot of food. And she had struck a gold mine. Perhaps they would take sympathy on a pregnant woman and not charge her an astronomical price for a droopy carrot. When she pushed the curtain, acting as a door, aside and said hello, three things happened simultaneously. There was a man with a plank of wood raised above his head coming towards her. She caught sight of a human head lying on the table, causing her to scream, and a woman in the corner shouted, "Stop!" The woman examined my grandmother, frowning at her stomach. "The boy knows we have standards. We don't kill pregnant women. Go. Leave. Do not repeat what you saw. We can change our minds." Great-grandma didn't need to be told again. She left and came to America years later to start a cannibalism-free life. I still wonder what would have happened had they not noticed she was pregnant. Thank you for listening, and have a happy Halloween. Don't forget to find me on Twitter if you have a story you want narrated.